But anyway, my presbyterian overseers, they used to say, when are you going to take some time off? Oh, I will. When are you going to take some time off? Oh, I will. You know, and so it got to a point where they said, we're not asking you anymore. We're telling you, you're going to take some time off. Because if you don't, especially, you know, where we are here, dealing with, you know, some of our people here all the time. Hi, Beer. That, you know, it can get a little overwhelming sometimes, but God's grace is sufficient. How you doing, Don Foote? Glad to see you. Got Marty sitting next to you. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to our men's advance in May. Now, have we been signing up for that, men? We got a sign-up sheet over there. So, you know, don't say, oh, I didn't know about it. I didn't know about it. It's May the... Is what? 12th, 13th, and 14th. Huh? The day is what? The days have changed. Oh, what's in May? All right, but anyway, sign up over there, and if you're in it, and it's cheaper than it has been. It's I think it's what, $98, and all, you know, food and everything else, and the food is outstanding up there. But and if you don't have the $98, please don't let that stop you. If you don't have the money, see Don Foote. He'll work it out for you. So pray. Oh, and also, you know, I wasn't here, but I hear Brother Tim Harp. He did an excellent job on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's the first of many that he's going to be doing. You know, and I've been saying this all the time. You know, we need to step out in the giftings that God has given us. You know, so he stepped out finally after being here for how long y'all been here? 10 years? And so anyway, he stepped out, so he's going to keep on stepping out. So praise the Lord. And Brother John, he did an excellent job. I understand Wednesday night also. You know, I'm just blessed. I'm so blessed that we have people that can carry on in the ministry. So praise the Lord. But anyway, let's get started here. For those, we don't have any visitors, do we? I don't see any visitors, any new people. Good, okay, we just got our family members. So anyway, oh, one other thing. I want to say that I'm so proud of Steflana up there, Yankowski. She's going to be doing a mission trip to Turkey. Yes, so we need to really be encouraging and praying for her, and just I'm so proud of that. You know, it's something that I have been praying for years, that the younger generation would get a burden for the mission field. And I am so blessed to see, you know, some of our young people that God has given them a burden for that. And let me tell you, the mission field is not for everybody. It has to be called. You have to be called in order to get on that mission field. Throughout the years, people have come to me, Pastor, I want to go. I said, have you called? Well, I don't know if I've been called, but I want to go. And I have taken in the past years several people to the mission field, and it didn't work out at all. It didn't work out. If you're not called, let me tell you something, it's not going to work out on the mission field because it's totally different from sitting in church or in Bible study or something like that. So I'm so proud of her. I'm really proud of her and her family. And some of them have also, some of her relatives have gone to Africa. They was in Nigeria and different places. So praise the Lord. Anyway, let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning, give you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. You are worthy, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you rose us up another day and given us breath to bring glory to your name. And with this breath and this life, oh Father God, we will give you all the honor, glory, and praise and thankfulness for your mercy, your grace, your faithfulness, your compassion, your forgiveness, your healing power, your delivering power. Lord, it's so much that we give you praise for, and we will always continue to praise you and honor you and give you thanks, oh Father. And Lord, we worship you this morning for your holiness and your righteousness. And because of who you are, Lord, we worship you with a heart of worship, with a life to worship you, and to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you will accept our worship, oh Father God. So Lord, we thank you. We pray, Father God, for our children. Commit our children unto you. Set them apart that they will serve you all the days of their life and not get caught up into the snares and the traps of the enemy. I pray for the families, oh Father God, that the family unit be stronger than it's ever been. I pray for marriages, that the marriages be stronger than they ever been. I pray for this country, the greatest nation in the world. We thank you for the freedoms. We thank you for all the blessings and provisions that you blessed us with. And with that, Lord, we have to ask for forgiveness. Forgive us of our wicked ways. Forgive us, oh Father God, as a nation, for what this nation has turned into. And Lord, the only thing that's going to turn it around is you. So Lord, we ask for revival. We ask for a Holy Ghost revival, that you will send your Holy Spirit upon this nation, that we will turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. Oh, Father God, we need a healing in this land. And Lord, I pray, Father, for our policemen, our firemen, our medical profession, our soldiers, oh Lord Jesus, that you would just put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, we honor our soldiers. Lord, you know what's going on over in Russia with the Ukraine. I know a lot of our troops are being transported over there, Lord. We ask, Father God, for a hedge of protection around them. And we ask, Father God, that this imminent threat, oh Father God, will be over with. That there be no war in the Ukraine, oh Father God. So, Lord, we pray, Father, for just have your way. Lord, we ask today that we have ears to hear what you have to say. Get me out of the way, Lord. Let everything that come out of my mouth not be of me, but of you, Lord. And that we will be hearers of the word, that it be no distractions. Anything, Father God, that would distract us from hearing what you have to say to us. Oh, Lord, let us not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Let us not walk out of here the way that we walked in. And I pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis 28. Genesis 28. How many of you have been in situations and you didn't really know a lot of facts? You were in things or doing things and you just didn't have a lot of understanding about some things. The Bible says my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. I want to talk to you today about something that we all need to have knowledge of and never, ever forget it. So you can't say, I didn't know. You can't say, I didn't know. Because so many times, you know, I've been in situations in my life and I would do certain things and certain things would happen and I say, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. If I had known that, I would have acted differently. If I had known that, I would have took a different route. If I had known that, I wouldn't have done this, or I would have done this. So I'm glad to see you, young man. You Elder Howie's grandson, aren't you? Yes, I hadn't seen you in a while. It's good to see you, young man. Amen. Praise the Lord. You and your dad, there's three generations back there. Praise the Lord. I love that. I love that, them three generations. But anyway, in the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter, and it says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Also, arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's house, and take thee a wife from thence, and the daughters of Laban, thy father's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee a blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee. Thou shalt that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac went away, Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take a wife from thence, and that he would be blessed him, he gave him charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had of Methuel, and the daughters of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and the sister of Nebethjoth, to be his wife. We now know the story of Isaac. We all know the story of Jacob. He was a deceiver. He took the birthright of Esau, his brother. He tricks his dad to do that. And so he was upset. Well, he would not. He was afraid that Esau was going to kill him, because Esau said, I'm going to kill you when daddy die. So I'm going to kill you. So Isaac told Jacob, he says, I want you to go get you a wife. Don't marry unsaved people. Don't marry or be unequally yoked with the Canaanites. He says, go find somebody of our own people. And Esau heard that, and he heard the blessing. And Esau said, well, let me go do that, because I want to be blessed too. Because Esau had a lot of wives, but they were Canaanites. So he went to go get some wives. So anyway, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of the place and put them for pillars and laid down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. Let me read that again. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou layest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. He said, where you are right now, you think it's a foreign land. He said, but I'm going to give you this land, not only to you, but your inheritance. That's like saying, okay, I'm going to give this land to Elder Howie. And not only to Elder Howie, I'm going to give it to his son, Shane. And then I'm going to give it to his Shane's son. And then Shane's son's son. And on and on and on. He says, I'm going to give you this land, not only for you, but all of your descendants, all of your seeds. I'm going to give that to you. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread above to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, until thee and all thy seed shall in the families of the earth be blessed. Now, this is God revealing this to him in his sleep, a dream. He said, I'm going to give you all this land here, not only for you, but for all of your descendants also. And then it says, and behold, I am with thee. Behold, you know what the word behold mean, don't you? See, know for sure, I am with thee. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee. I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. He says, I'm going to be with you in this land. I'm going to be, not only I'm going to be with you, I'm going to be with all of your descendants. And we've heard over and over and over and over, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's in the Bible over and over and over and over again. Am I right? Does everybody know that? Has everybody heard that? Just in case one of y'all might be half sleeping, let me say it again. God said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Now, don't you know that God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever? So what he's saying is, I'm always there. I'm always there. Wherever you might be, I'm there. I will never leave you and never forsake you. And then it says, and Jacob awoke out of his sleep and he said, surely. Surely. You know what surely means, don't you? That is true. That is right. That is no falseness in here. There's no maybe in here. Just like surely I'm standing up here before you today. Surely you're sitting in the pews and hearing the word today. Surely of that. Not maybe, not might. I don't think Tony might be here or not. Tony's here this morning with your red mask. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it says in here, and he says, surely the, he said, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. You see, he didn't know it. He didn't know it, but he knew he was raised, you know, by godly people. He knew what God had said. I would never leave you, never forsake you. He knew that. He heard it before, just like we all have. And he was in a place where he knew Esau was going to come after him and kill him. But God gave him assurance. And by the Holy Spirit this morning, I'm going to speak the oracles of God to give you assurance this morning that God is with you. God is in this place, whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether you see it or not. God is in this place. It's one thing to hear it in a sermon. It's one thing to read it in the Bible. But it's another thing to have the manifested presence of God in your life. You see, he heard it. He probably read it. But God showed up in a dream. God showed up in a dream and told him, this is what I have for you, not only for you, but for your descendants. And God has sent me here this morning to tell you that he has something not only for you, but for your descendants also. But the thing is, how many of us have experienced the manifested presence of God? How many have not experience the manifested presence? Let me tell you something. When you do that, your life will change. When God shows up and behold, and God brings you to a place where you know that his presence is upon you, let me tell you something. You cannot say the same. Because you know that God is with you. Regardless of what the circumstances might be, regardless of what might be happening in your life, sickness, or losing a job, or losing a child, losing a family member, or whatever you might be going through, when you know that that God is with me, Emmanuel, let me tell you something, your life changes. Your life changes. To know that God is with you. And I'm going to say to you here this morning, my prayer is this morning, I've been praying this ever since God gave me this, that the manifested presence of God will show up today. That it will show up today, that you will know that you know that you know that God loves you, that he's here for you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to direct you. He's going to guide you. He's going to give you the things that you've been asking him for. Lord, what am I supposed to be doing in my life? What direction am I supposed to be taking? Lord, I only want from this moment on, I only want from this moment on, Lord, what you want for me. That's all I want, is what you want for me. So, Lord, I need that manifested prayer. Because I've been doubting. I'm a doubting Thomas. Well, I've been hearing the messages. You know, I've seen people come and give their testimonies about, you know, how God showed up and how God did that. But ain't nothing ever happened to me like that. You know, nothing has ever happened to me like that. But Lord, do you want it? Do you want the manifested presence of God to come upon you today? Because let me tell you something. When it does, you can't continue to do the things that you've been doing if it has not been righteous. You know, there was a time in my life I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want nothing to hear about God saying nothing to me or directing me and guiding me. You know why? Because I still loved doing what I was doing. Didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to surrender. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't want to stop doing the things that I was doing because I liked them. Matter of fact, I did more than liked them. I loved them. I loved it. I love cussing people out. Elder Paul was talking about the power of the tongue this morning. You know, about the power of the tongue. But, you know, and it was other things, you know, that I love getting high, love partying, you know, love living an immoral life, all that, loved all that. But when God showed up, when I had that road to Damascus experience, my life changed forever. And some of yours has too. And then some of yours have not. But do you want it to? That's the key. Because see, God is not a person who's going to force himself on you. He's not going to force himself on you. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall be answered. And knock and the door shall be opened. But you have to seek him first. Not just seek him when you're in trouble. Oh God, I'm in trouble. I'm going to make a vow. I'm going to promise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And God knows your heart. He knows, you know, you're going to go right back doing the things that you've been doing over and over and over again. But let me tell you something. When the manifested presence of God comes upon you, you have to change. You will change. That's how you can see. Because a person can say what they want to say. You know, put on a form of godliness, but deny the power of. The power thereof is the manifested presence of God in your life. So my prayer is, before you leave out of here today, that the presence of God will touch you and feel you. That when you walk out of here, you won't walk out of here the same way you walked in. If you want it. If you want it. Now let me finish here. And then it says, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. See, that revelation that God gives us when the manifested presence of God comes into, we get a revelation. Our eyes are open. Our hearts are open. Our spirits are open to see the things of the kingdom and not of the world. See, so many times we get distracted by the things of the world. We get distracted by all the this, that, and the other, and all of this, that, and the other, and the world. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. We get distracted. And why do we get distracted on it? Stand up, Tony, for a second. I want you to stand right here. Now, I want you to try to distract me. I want you to do like this and say, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. Do like
this. Pastor!
Keep on.
Pastor!
Keep on.
Pastor!
Keep on.
Pastor!
Keep on.
Pastor!
You see what I did to him? Put them elbows on him. See, I wasn't going to be distracted by him. Even though he was walking behind me, hollering at me, and then tried to grab on me. See? I'm not going to be distracted by him. As much noise as he's making and all of this type of stuff here, and you know why? Because I didn't turn to look at him. I didn't turn in his direction. I kept my focus. We got to keep our focus on Jesus Christ, period. Not on Tony. Not on the news. Not on the thing that's going on in the world. All of that type of stuff. We got to keep our eyes focused on it. What did the Bible say? That if we keep our mind stayed on him, he'll give us what? Perfect peace. Tony, stand up again. All right, do it again.
Pastor.
See, sometimes that's what we have to do. You understand? When it is keep on, you know, because we have the power and the authority to stop that. But so many times we just let that just keep on and we turn like, what, why, what, huh, oh, ooh, ah. Yes. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, he can make all the noise he wants back there. And see, when he starts harassing me to the point, that's when I turn around. I got something for him. I got something for him. You know, I got the sword of truth. That word. I got this word. See, I take his word and I. So what I'm saying to you today, church, is we need the presence of God to be manifested in our lives. And that's why so many times that when we in the midst of stuff and the enemy and the things of this world is coming at us and coming at us and coming at us, we got to take time to say, hey, I got to get away. Now, you don't have to go to Florida. You know, you don't have to go that far. But what you need to do is find you a place. Find you that secret place where there's no distractions, where there's no harassments. You know, that quiet place where we can hear that still small voice of God. And we can pray, say, Lord, I need to sense your presence. I need for you to unveil to me your presence, Lord. Because if not, let me tell you something. You're going to end up in a not good place. You'll end up in a place of bitterness, of anger, of fear, resentment, and on and on and on and on and on, which is not of God. But my Bible tells me if I keep my gaze and my eyes and my focus on him, no devil in hell or the devil himself can have nothing to do with me. Now, he's trying. He's pawing at me and pulling on me and all that kind of stuff there. But see, once it gets to a point that I'm sick and tired of him messing with me, it is written. It is written. Submit yourself unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen? But so many times, if we don't know that, we will let him harass us to the point where, and he's good at what he does, to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he'll do, and you're saved, ain't no doubt about it, you're saved. But what happens is some of those old life traits starts coming back. You know, Elder Paul was talking about this morning that he comes and you know, he raises his hand on Sunday morning and he praises the Lord and he just sings the songs, you know, I surrender and all of that there. And he gets out in the parking lot and pulls out and somebody pulls out in front of him. And all that praising the Lord and I surrender and all that. I ain't going to say what he say to, that he says to people. I'll let Betty tell you that. See, sometimes the enemy will harass us to try to make us lose our witness. And we've all been it. We've all done it. Haven't we, Jay? But we're going to stop it, ain't we, Jay? And you're going to tell me if he stops it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying to you this morning, church, I feel so strongly about this. We need a move of God that every one of us, not just a handful of us, just not just a few of us, because when I asked you that, some of y'all raised your hand and some of you didn't. And some of you looked at me like, I didn't know. I didn't know that the Lord was in this place. I didn't know that he would never leave me and forsake me because I'm focusing on all the different stuff that's going on in the world. And it could be, you know, around you, in your family, in your job, at your school, in your mind. You know, that mind is something else. You know that. And that's where the enemy comes. You know, he'll come and he'll start. You know, there's pastor again. He's gone again. Mm-hmm. I heard some of y'all. I heard you. Mm-hmm. Yep, in the spirit. Yep. But once again, I've gotten to a place that I know that I know that I know that I got to seek the Lord. I got to have time to spend with him. And you do too. Not only me, but you do too. Because if you don't take time to spend with it, let me tell you something. Your wife or your husband, your child or somebody will know. You ain't been spending time with the Lord. And that's and when you see somebody who's doing something like that, that's when you used to say, Brian, you need to go spend some time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Brian, go spend some time with the Lord. Absolutely. Jay, go spend a lot of time with the Lord. Don Foote,
yeah.
Move in with the Lord. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. When you get that manifested presence of the Lord, let me tell you what happens to you. Turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. And I'm going to start in verse 7. Philippians, did I say 4? Yeah, verse 11. I'm going to start in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. This is Apostle Paul. Not that I speak. And you know, Apostle Paul was one of those where God revealed himself to him. The Apostle Paul was on that road to Damascus, Damascus. And Jesus Christ knocked him off of his horse. And he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Woo! Can you imagine? He was on his way to persecute more people who were serving Jesus. And then when all of a sudden, I'm Jesus. Can you imagine what happened to this man? when the manifested presence came upon him. We all know. Oh, my God. His life turned around. His life turned around. And he was one of the most powerful men of God in the Word of God because of the manifested presence. And that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen to this nation. That's what needs to happen to our church. And when I say our church, I'm talking about the universal church. Because we've lost so much of that. And we've tried to exchange it with entertainment and all of this other stuff to try to manifest the presence of God. With the smoke machines and the lights and the little feathers coming down from the ceiling and all the little angel dust. The little, yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When I said angel dust, some of y'all twitch. I'm going to leave that alone. Ain't that right, Elder Howie? All right. We're going to leave that alone right now. Praise the Lord. But anyway, you cannot manufacture it, but a lot of people do. And a lot of people, they're deceived by it because they say, oh, I feel this and I feel that. You know, but once again, that's humanism. That's that thing that people can make you feel good. They can make you feel good. And think that's the manifested presence of God. And then after you feel good, after the service, and maybe a day or two later, you're right back in the condition that you was before. But just like the Apostle Paul, he never went back. He always went forward. Moses, another one. We know what happened. He murdered the Egyptian. He ran. He was scared. And all of a sudden, one day he was walking around and all of a sudden he saw a burning bush and he walked to see what was going on and the manifested presence of God. Whew. Moses was never the same after that, was he? I'm telling you, once we get that, the real, the genuine, not the fake, because the enemy would try to give you the fake. But you will know that you know that you know when your life changes and changes for good. Now, it's not that we're not going to, you know, all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. It's not that you're not going to, you know, go back and do something, but you don't continue to do it. When we do make mistakes, when we do make bad choices, we confess it. We ask God to forgive us of that. We repent of it and we keep on going. We keep on going. We don't keep going back around and around and around and around again. That manifested presence of God. That's what we need. And let me tell you something. When we have that, that's when true worship happens. That's when true worship happens. Now, you know, the music and the singing and stuff, that's a form of worship. But what God wants is to worship him with our life. To worship him with our life, the lifestyle, the things that we do each and every day is true worship in spirit and in truth. That's what he's looking for. He said in the book of Matthew, he says, I'm looking for true worshipers to worship me in spirit and in truth. Not just worship me when you raise your hands and sing songs on Sunday, but every day, all day long. I want to worship. But that can only happen, church, when the manifested presence of God comes into our life. And we accept that and walk into that. If that's what you want. When John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River, and all of a sudden, behold, the Lamb of God comes who takes away the sin of the world. Then all of a sudden, the manifested presence of God. This is my son, who I am well pleased. Everybody heard it. The manifested presence of God. This is my son. Peter and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, we're going to build three tabernacles. You know, no, no, no. This is my son. Listen to him. The manifested presence of God. When you read the scriptures and you see how people's lives have changed. Little Zacchaeus. Just in case anybody don't know about Zacchaeus. He was a publican. He was a tax collector. He was a cheat. He took people's taxes that over than what they were supposed to do. He was a very rich man. He heard Jesus was coming in town, but he was a little fellow. And he couldn't see Jesus. Everybody, you know, he was trying to look. And so he ran and he climbed up to the tree. He says, I'm not going to be denied from seeing Jesus. And he's up in the tree and Jesus is walking around with all the people following behind him. And all of a sudden Jesus has stopped and said, Zacchaeus, the manifested presence. Today I must eat with you. Zacchaeus' life was changed forever. And there's so many in here. So what I'm saying to you is, have your life changed? Have you truly wanted the manifested presence of God in your life? Or are you still content to be where you are? Still having all those issues and problems. We're going to have issues and problems, absolutely. But let me tell you something. We will not respond to them the way that we did without the manifested presence of God. You just won't. Now let me read it. Paul said, I have learned to be content. I've learned to be content. How did he learn it? Because when God sent that manifested presence on the road to Damascus, and as he was going through all of the different things, he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. You know, his own brethren was against him. People of the world was against him. I mean, and he was thrown in prison time after time after time again. And he's sitting in prison. He's sitting there getting beat. He's sitting being shipwrecked. And he said, you know what? All is well. All is well because God has revealed himself to me. It don't matter what happens to me here. It don't matter what I have to go through here because God is going to get me through it. And the good part about it is I have an inheritance that's laid up in heaven for me. That's reserved. So this little time that I'm here on earth, all the little stuff that goes on within me, I don't care what goes on. God's grace and mercy is going to get me through it. But the main thing is I have a reservation. I got a reservation in heaven. And I know that. So I'm not going to let all the news. I'm not going to let this one, that one, this, that, or other. I ain't going to let all that distract me and detour me. Because my eyes is on Jesus. My focus is on Jesus. And the reason why my focus can be on Jesus all the time is because he loves you so much. And he has so much for you to do, my sister. And you too. And you too. I love Vera. That's why I pick on her all the time. Where's Vern? Okay. We'll tell him we miss him. We're going to pray for him. But I just want to say, let me read a couple more scriptures and I'll be done with you. Maybe. That's right. Maybe. Exodus 33:14, write these down. And he said, this is God, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. My presence will go with thee and I will give thee rest. Deuteronomy 20:1, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemies and see horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He said, when you see all of this, bless you. When Elijah was in his place and his servant went out And his servant saw all of the enemy all around the mountain around them. They were surrounded. He was scared. He ran and said, oh, all the enemy is here. They're surrounding us. There's no hope. Elijah said, let me share something with you. Lord, manifest yourself to him. And when he did that, his eyes were open. It was revealing that there was more of God's protection than it was the enemy. Oh, that fear went away. That fear went away because he saw. He didn't hear. He didn't hear it in the sermon. He didn't hear it on TV. He didn't hear it, you know, or read it in a book. He saw what was going on. And that's what we need today, church. We need to see in the spirit. We need to hear in the spirit. We need to walk in the spirit. We need to live in the spirit. Isaiah 43 and 2. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And go through the rivers, thou shalt not overtake thee. When thou walketh through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because I'll never leave you and never forsake you. I'm always with you. Matthew 28 and 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Let me read that again. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What has he commanded us? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To follow, and love him. He said, if you love me, you do what? Keep my commandments. Not being perfect. We're not perfect. We're never all going to be perfect. But I'm saying being real. Being real. So I want to ask you again today. Do you truly want the manifested presence of God? Or do you want to just keep hearing preaching and teaching? Do you just want to keep on going through life the way that you've been going? I don't know. That's something that you need to just to make a choice, a decision. Do I want to continue the way that I am, or do I want to want what God wants for me? Period. I only want what God wants for me. Can you say that? Can you say that? You can say it. Everybody can say it. But do you mean it? That's the key. Do you mean it? If you do mean it, and you want that, I'm going to ask you to honor God today. Because like I say, my prayer has been for God's power to show up here today. That the manifested presence of God will show up here today. If you truly want it. If you don't, keep on going where you're going. Keep on doing what you're doing. But if you do, I'm going to ask you to honor him. And just stand. Just stand. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm just going to ask you to stand. If that's your desire. If your desire is, the Lord, I want you to show me your manifested presence this morning. I don't want to continue to live like I've been living. I want to have more of you in my life. I want to have all of you in my life. From this day forward, I will receive whatever you want for me, Lord. I'm not going to block and hinder anything. And I'm not going to let anybody or anything block and hinder. So I'm going to ask, if you're standing here today, just raise your hands and just pray to God. Just pray to God. You can pray silently or you can pray out loud. Lord, I need you more. Lord, I ask that you manifest your presence in this church, within the people that's here today that's wanting to be manifested, to be revealed the truth, oh Father God. Not to continue to live in a life of just hearing your word, but Lord, to make us be doers of your word in every aspect of our life. So Lord, I come to you today, praising you, giving you honor, glory, and praise, not only with my lips, Lord, but with my life. I ask you to manifest yourself to me, Lord. From this day forward, change me, Lord. Change me, Lord, on the inside, that I'll be changed forever, not only on the inside, but on the outside also. So, Lord, this is my prayer to you, that this day that I will walk out of here completely different than when I walked in. And, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to manifest yourself to me. And the church says, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does anybody here need prayer? Does anybody here need to surrender your life to Jesus that you never have surrendered your life? So everybody here has surrendered. Everybody here surrendered, right? All right. Because let me tell you something. When you stand at that judgment gate, you want to hear well done. You want to hear well done. Not depart from me. So, you know, God has given us an opportunity to truly surrender and to accept and ask and that manifested presence of God. If you need prayer, you know, for anything, healing or deliverance or just direction or whatever, you know, I'm going to ask you to come down and afterwards, you know, I'll pray over you. And I'm going to ask the elders to come down also to pray over you also. So if you need prayer for anything, I'm going to ask you to come down. But I want to thank you. I want to thank all, each and every one of you. I love all of you. And it's good to be home while I'm inside. It's not good to be home outside. But anyway, I want to say thank you. Father, we come before you today, give me honor, glory, and praise. I want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. I pray, Father God, for everybody that stood today. And those who might not have stood, that you would just reveal yourself in a real way. That we will know, that we will know, that we will know, and that our lives will be changed forever, oh Lord Jesus. And that we will bring glory to your name in everything that we do. Everything that we do, Lord, that we will bring glory to you. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.